Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business. It's Keith McPherson on The Fan. 1019 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I know I haven't been gone that long, but it felt like long to me, man. We'll get into it. I'll update you on how I am, how I'm feeling. Shout out to C-Mac for filling in for me last night. KM to 2 a.m. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Obviously, we're going to talk about your New York Yankees. It's nothing, right? That's what it's supposed to look like. I mean, it's just a big difference coming off the Dodgers series, going to Kauffman Stadium to face the Royals. There's a three-game win streak and at least a split in this next series. Not about to lose this series, in my opinion. And yeah, small ball the night before, long ball tonight, and the Yankees keep on rolling. The Mets came back to town. We'll go there. And where is Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers is a song that doesn't end, but you guys got to stop singing the song a certain way. It's okay. 888-808-1019-FM. We'll start with the New York Yankees. That's another win for your Yankees. Domination. You're able to get guys off their feet. 10-1 win. Marcus Stroman, excellent. This guy's been so solid for the New York Yankees. I don't care what anybody told you months ago. I don't care what anybody told you years ago. It is good to have Marcus Stroman on this Yankees team. He's 6-2. He goes 5 2/3, giving up only 4 hits, 3 walks, 1 K. And, just holds it down for you. He's a veteran presence. He's steady watching him pitch. You know what you're going to get from him. He's not a strikeout pitcher. He's a ground ball pitcher. And he's, again, good for us to have. Welcome back, Ron Marinaccio, the pride of Toms River North. Chach, rock solid. He gave up one, but I'm not even worried about that. He came in, got us out of a jam, gave us 2 1/3. Good to see Marinaccio back. This bullpen is what, folks? Ever-changing, fluid, evolving. There's going to be guys from Michael Tonkin to, adios, Dennis Santana. You're now a Pittsburgh Pirate. How many Yankees have we seen go out to Pittsburgh? A good night for the New York Yankees at the plate. Austin Wells. I don't think anybody has this ticket, but if you have this ticket, good for you. Maybe you listen to Evan and Tiki talk about it, but if you bet Austin Wells first homer, cash. If you parlayed that with Judge to homer and Stanton to homer, cash. I didn't. I took a little break from gambling after the Dodgers series. Came back tonight, did not have that on my bingo card, but you love to see it out of young Austin Wells. I think I was on The Fan, or maybe I was in the stadium talking about Austin Wells, and you know, someone was saying to me, I don't understand the hype around the guy. And I said, it wasn't so much that there was hype around the guy. It was the fact that he's a left-handed hitter in Yankee Stadium with the short porch. He's supposed to hit for power. We are expecting him to have, I don't know, 5 home runs by now. Well, he's got 2. And, you know, that was a nice one to crack the game open to center. He's coming along just fine. But, yeah, Juan Soto being back. Have we slowed Juan Soto down some from this little bit of a break? I don't know. We'll talk about that tonight. 888-808-1019. Taking Juan Soto out of the lineup against the Dodgers. I feel a few ways about it. I feel like, hey, you know, maybe it was a chess move. Obviously, the guy was hurt. He had inflammation, whatever. He's playing now, DH'd last night, in the field tonight. But, you know, you can't help but thinking if the Dodgers meet the Yankees in the Fall Classic, they didn't see Soto. They didn't see Cole. They didn't see Jason Dominguez, who we'll also talk about tonight. I know there's not necessarily a spot for the Martian, but if this kid keeps hitting the ball like that, and after what you just saw this weekend with bats going quiet, how do you not have that guy on the major league level to help? Speaking of bats going quiet, Giancarlo Stanton, if you heard me Sunday, I said I know this guy is pressing. He's from L.A. He grew up going to Dodger Stadium. I was in Dodger Stadium when he won the MVP of the All-Star game a couple years back. It meant so much to him in front of all those Cali people, those Dodgers fans, to go out there and hit home. He had nothing over the weekend. But then he reminds you, against a team like the Royals in Kansas City, a way different vibe, half the amount of fans in Kansas City showing up, a good Yankee crowd taking over there. Stanton is hitting the ball almost 500 feet, smacking the ball. And this guy's, he is what he is. I know a lot of you want to send him elsewhere. He's not going anywhere. I know a lot of you guys, as I'm talking about Dominguez, are like, yo, move him for Dominguez. Like, no, Giancarlo Stanton makes a lot of money. In my opinion, he's a future Hall of Famer. We know what he is. Sometimes he looks overmatched. But, man, when he connects, it's a sight to see. When he connects and when Judge connects, the Yankees don't lose many of those games. And I'm putting it on record. I've called Judge the silencer. He silences all critics. And I'm silent on any slumps that he ever has again. You will never hear me talk down on that guy. You will never hear me question that guy. You will never hear me say, well, maybe. No, there is no maybe. This guy is the best hitter I've ever watched. Like, just flat out. This guy, I mean, maybe go ahead and say Barry Bonds, but we're not talking steroid era. We're not talking back then. I'm talking about, why do they still pitch to Aaron Judge, yo? Like, why do they still challenge him? This guy is out and out the best hitter we've seen, period. Like, he's on a ridiculous run after a month where he finished the month batting under 200. Everybody was questioning his health, his contract, his age, his mechanics, his batting stance. I've just never seen a guy silence all critics like this. But he did the same thing when he went and got his contract. Oh, Judge, you should have taken the contract. Oh, Judge, why didn't you sign? Oh, Judge, you're silence. And he did that in the Dodgers series after Yankee fans, for some reason, were chanting, "We want Soto." Would have never been me. We could talk about that as well. I was on Sunday afternoon, and I haven't been on since. Judge comes out there like, pipe down. Hey, I got us. And then he goes into the postgame to speak on that as well, to have Trent Grisham's back. One message I got to send to the Yankee fans. I know a lot of you guys are casuals. I know a lot of you guys might have just gone to the stadium one time in a Sunday night baseball. It's Yankee baseball. We root for the laundry. We want Trent Grisham to do as best as he possibly can, filling in for Juan Soto. Juan Soto just got here. He just got here. And the glazing of Juan Soto has been OD. Like, it is crazy to hear "We want Soto" chants in a game where the Yankees were in control. The Yankees were just fine. I heard that. And, of course, everybody said Trent Grisham heard those chants. Yeah. Yeah, they worked in our favor. And then "We want Grisham." But it's like, hey, lock in, fans. When you guys go to the ballpark, to the stadium, we're rooting for everybody in those pinstripes. It doesn't matter if it's Jamai Jones. It doesn't matter if it's Aaron Judge. We want the Yankees to win, and the Yankees keep winning. Call me up if you want to talk about the Yanks at 888-808-1019. I mean, they win against this Kansas City Royals team who has been pretty good this year, who has gone for it this year, who went and spent money. But as you look across the landscape of baseball, you just realize there are the haves and have-nots. There are the teams that realistically, like, that team is 10 games above 500. They're no match for the Yankees. There are teams that are in the upper echelon, which you're about to see all of them pretty much, like, except the Phillies. Like, the Yankees played host to the Dodgers. Coming up next week, they'll have the Orioles, the Braves. There's just not that many teams. It's few and far between the good teams and the teams that it's just like, they're not good enough. There's no shot. And, I mean, I say that to say this. The Yankees have dominated the Central Division. No one scares you out of the Central. In the West, it's the Seattle Mariners, which a couple weeks ago, I was trying to tell everybody that could possibly hear me on the fan that the Mariners are not elite. There were reasons why they even split that series. Clay Holmes blew his first save. Clark Schmidt was tipping pitches. They didn't have enough. But we'll get into all the baseball conversation tonight. But as I say, you know, the Kansas City Royals are a team with a great record at home. They're 24-13 at home right here in New York. In Flushing, the New York Mets, I don't know what's going on. They have almost the opposite record as the Kansas City Royals. The New York Mets are 13-23 at home. The Kansas City Royals are 24-13 at home. And there was a good crowd out there at Citi Field tonight. The return of Francisco Alvarez Happy trails to Tomas Nito. You feel like, okay, the Mets split the London series. They come home to face the measly Marlins, but the Marlins have owned them. And Mets fans, call me up and tell me how you feel right now as we are getting closer and closer, I think like 6-7 weeks away from the deadline, and there has to be a line of demarcation. Is this team going for it, or is this team punting again? Is this team going to try to buy and sell their fans on making the postseason and it being a successful season like Steve Cohen just said out in London? Or are we going to call a spade and realize this team is not consistently good enough, similar to last year, and it would do you much better to sell off again in the way that Steve Cohen can and nobody else really can? 888-808-1019. I know you got to be frustrated as a Mets fan watching good pitching performances get wasted. Watching Tyler McGill go out there and strike out 8 guys, only give up 3 runs. It's like, where's the run support? The Marlins, I mean, it's not like the Marlins went out there and hit a bunch of home runs. They had sac flies and singles, only, a couple extra base hits, but they do enough to get the win. The Mets are only able to score 2 runs. And when you look at the top of the order, it's tough, man. It is super tough because you can't have Francisco Lindor, who I know has been better. It's one game, but you can't have the combination of Lindor leading off going 0-for-4, Pete Alonso batting second going 0-for-4 with 2 strikeouts, and Brandon Nimmo going 0-for-4 batting third with 3 strikeouts. It's an absolute killer. You can't get anything going. Even if the middle of the order figures it out, Marte, shout out to Vientos doing his thing this year. It's tough, man. So Mets fans, call me up. Tell me how you feel about the season right now. I know this is only one game, but like to return home, to have over 22,000 fans in attendance, and to lay an egg again against the Marlins, who are we fooling here? You know, it's a foregone conclusion already. Your owner was tweeting about, well, we can't do anything until the deadline a month ago. It's, you know, going through the motions until they start to sell off. 888-808-1019. Man, before we go to the break, I want to lean in on the Aaron Rodgers story. I've been very hard on Aaron Rodgers. I've been very hard on Rob Sala and the Jets. I just, all the hype last year with Hard Knocks, primetime games, people betting on the Jets to win the Super Bowl. You got to crawl before you walk. You got to end the playoff drought before I can consider you as a contender to win the whole thing, especially in this Patrick Mahomes era, especially where the 49ers exist. Other teams have emerged like the Lions, the Ravens. Like, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you guys got to give this guy a break. And I know that sounds weird coming from me because I'm the one that says, Aaron Rodgers is the song that doesn't end. It just goes on and on, my friends. Some Jets fans started singing it, not knowing what it was, and they will keep on singing it forever just because. We're singing it again on the first day of minicamp. We're singing it again. I give him the benefit of the doubt because he was around in OTAs. I give him the benefit of the doubt because for weeks we've seen him at the facility. I give him the benefit of the doubt because even when he came back from the Achilles, he wanted to practice. He couldn't play. He couldn't get cleared to play, but he wanted to practice. He wanted to build that rapport and start on this 2024 season. Don't fall into the same old Jets, LOL Jets narratives. Don't fall into Aaron Rodgers doesn't care about this team. We don't know what the unexcused absence is. The fine doesn't matter. He's got all the money. He's got one of the richest players in NFL history. But I try to give the guy the benefit of the doubt. I don't want to say that he's at a psychedelic drug conference or doing something political. And I know the shenanigans that we've gotten from him in this offseason after he's the one that says the BS has to leave the building, right? The vice president stuff. Him talking about HIV and the Sandy Hook conspiracy and then the back and forth with Jimmy Kimmel is all nonsense. But this right here, the first day of minicamp, him missing, I just wouldn't make too much of a big deal about it. Like, what if he lost a friend? And I know that's extreme, right? As we're talking about unexcused absences, it's like it'd have to be a funeral or a wedding. And reportedly, he doesn't have a great relationship with his mom, dad, or brother. So, but like, you just don't know, man. I think so many times we don't look at these guys like people. He could have something that was scheduled. And don't get me wrong, work is first. He should not have a conflict with his work schedule. He should have known when the first day of minicamp was. But I think he did know. And there might have been something that he's involved in that doesn't involve football at all. I'm sure we'll come to find out. He'll speak on it. But, man, for so many people today to call the fan and be talking online about Aaron Rodgers doesn't care, Aaron Rodgers, I'm like, man, we've been killing this guy forever. Like, this is the chance, right? This is the year for him to come in healthy and do what he's got to do. I don't think it matters on June 11th if he's not there. Good for Tyrod Taylor. You know, Rodgers could be anywhere in the world. He is a megastar, and I don't think it's going to hurt the team missing one day of practice in June. There's a long way to go. Now, Hassan Reddick, that's a different story. 888-808-1019. Hassan Reddick wants to get paid. You traded for him, Jets. You traded for him knowing that he wanted to get a contract extension from Philly. Philly's situation, the way their season ended, the way they got bounced, they had to make a business decision. On the Philly Bowl, he's from Temple. Like, he should have stayed there. He should have stayed with the Eagles, but they weren't trying to pay him. They couldn't pay him. I mean, they just paid Devontae Smith. They paid A.J. Brown. All the money they gave Jalen Hurts, they could not pay him. But the Jets got to pay him. The Jets lose Bryce Huff, Jefferson. They need him on that defensive line. And he can wreak havoc on quarterbacks. And that's all this league is. A quarterback who's catching the ball from the quarterback, and who's rushing the quarterback. And you need that guy. And I would expect that Joe Douglas is working on a contract extension. And I wouldn't expect Hassan Reddick to show up and run around for any reason. I think I saw Izzy Abanaconda got shaken up and, you know, had to stop practicing. You can get hurt. So why go risk it on June 11th when you don't have your money? Why go out there and practice right now for a team that you haven't played a down for, that you're trying to get an extension from? It's holdout time. Guys are going to hold out. This is the NFL. It happens all the time. But because this is the Jets, because it's the NFL, because this is the spotlight on, oh, Aaron Rodgers and Hassan Reddick, you know, they're going to open up NFL Live with it. They're going to, you know, blow it out of proportion, because in June, when there's no NBA Finals on today, and the NBA Finals is what it is, Kristaps Porzingis hurt. KP, what's up with you? Kristaps Porzingis has a torn medial retina, like, whatever. I'm like, this guy missed all that time, came back, and is hurt again. But I think the finals is over. I think that's the Celtics, a gentleman's sweep, most likely. So without the finals to talk about, without killing the Caitlin Clark story, and most folks in sports media do not want to or know how to actually talk about baseball, the Dodgers-Yankees series is over, the London series is over. Here we are today leaning into the Jets and all. The Jets are a circus. They're not a circus. And Hassan Reddick holding out and Aaron Rodgers going somewhere that we have no idea. It could be something serious. It could just be a quick darkness retreat. It could just be, you know, we don't know. But I just feel like people are blowing it out of proportion. And we'll talk all about that tonight. Giants as well, if you want to talk about, you know, Daniel Jones not being able to compete yet in 11-on-11 drills as a precaution, but they expect him to be ready to go for training camp. Evan Neal not participating yet. That's another thing. Like, some guys aren't participating yet. So what does it matter if they're not there? You're blowing it out of proportion. When we get to August, they got to be locked in. Late July, they got to be locked in. But for now, this stuff is just for talk radio, TV, and social media. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'm all right. What happened to me yesterday? I had a hernia surgery. You know, Father Time is undefeated. I'm not a young man anymore. I was under the squat rack, squatting more than my body weight. Went deep, and when I tried to come up, I felt something wasn't right. I gave it about a week, went to the doctor, and the doctor's like, no, you got to get that operated. And if you've never had a hernia, they're very common. The surgery was quick and easy. The people at Hoboken University Medical Center took great care of me. I was under anesthesia yesterday morning. I came back, and you know, I'm in pain, but I'm hurt. I'm not injured. I can play. You know, I could show up to work and talk. I don't work construction. I'm not driving a truck. I'm not doing something that involves heavy lifting. I'm taking calls and I'm talking sports with you guys. I'm all right. I don't want to miss any shows. I'm not sick. I've taken enough, you know, vacation from Memorial Day weekend. And I told you guys coming into this year, I got something to prove. So when this mic is open for me, I'm going to be here, even if I'm hobbled, even if I can't run and I can barely walk. But yeah, we'll talk about that. I'll give you some more info on me, how I'm doing. We'll hit all the sports conversation. But right now, we got to go to Marco Belletti with the update. Let's hit it, Paulie.